EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
In the box.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn, and infamous MJ will appear sometime later. So, Friday the 13th, awesome day. It was half day Fridays, as I call it, for work, because I get out of there after noon. After 12 o'clock p.m., I should say. And that helps add to a nice, relaxing weekend to where I don't have a full Friday to stress me out. So for Friday the 13th, Boom Doom and I went to Spirit of Halloween. Unfortunately, they didn't get a large location, so there's no animatronics. There was no extra fun stuff to go around to check out in the shop, because that made the best video, was looking at all the animatronics and scary shit that they have. They don't have that this time in my area. They're in a small place. I mean, we were literally bumping into people because aisles are so small. But we did a really fun video for Friday the 13th, and I'm in the process of editing, and I'm sorry it's not up. I don't have a lot of time, because my work and home life, they're a little bit hectic. So it'll be up as soon as I can get it. But it was a lot of fun. We had a slow start because dealing with almost 10-year-olds, they have mood swings worse than women. And I was grumpy too. So, yeah. Anyway. So we're in the month of October, which is my 31 days of Halloween, as I like to think about it, because on TV, they're showing all types of horror movies. We have a channel called Comet TV, which they are showing classic films of sci-fi, B-movie horror, underground horror, cult classics. They are showing a lot of really classic Halloween horror movies that, you know, I had seen as a kid once upon a time. The other day, they showed Queen of Blood. I believe it was 1960s. No, it had to be. Yeah, it was the 60s, I believe. And then I was also watching from 1967, Mars Needs Women. It was absolutely hilarious, and it showed the scenes of the times at that time, to where they also mentioned the War of the Worlds broadcast, radio broadcast that freaked the shit out of everybody, and because they thought it was real when it was just it was just a radio play. But to see aliens trying to blend in as humans because they were on a mission. They needed help. They asked for help. They did. They said, please, we need help. This is what's going on. And the military at that time was like, basically, they said, no, fuck you. So the aliens, the Martians, decided to go undercover and get what they want anyway. Comet TV, it's on a channel called 3-2 in my area. But check it out. They have some awesome classic sci-fi. And this month, they're showing a lot more horror, like old horror, classic horror. It's the best channel on our local TV. I don't have cable. I don't have any of that because it's just an expense we don't need. I mean, shit! A local free antenna channel called Comet TV with all the classic stuff. Who could go wrong with that? Awesome. Well, I think I've wasted enough of your time. It's time for some music. It's EMZT Radio.
Office report for the week, and man, oh man, was it a good week for sci-fi and horror at the box office. Blade Runner 2049, the new baby out on campus, $45.5 million. It now $13.6 million. That's right, you heard me. $13.6 million. That gives it a total. Are you ready for this? $308,879,000. Now, these are totals as of the 15th of October. Flatliners drops from 5 to 9, $5.6 million. Mother really just fell off a cliff here this week at $596,000. Nobody else is really worth talking about because nobody else made over $500,000 this week. Looking at the DVD sales, John Carpenter's Halloween, of course, leads the way. Boo, a Madea Halloween, of course, the very funny Madea movies. But second, Saw, the complete edition. If you don't have this, then you really don't like gore, what I call gore porn. Saw, the complete movie collection, is third. Friday the 13th, the ultimate collection, is fourth. Halloween 2 and Halloween 3 is fifth. The seventh season of The Walking Dead is sixth. Now, these are all Amazon. Stephen King's It, the original, I believe that's the original version, the one in the 1980s, is number seven. Halloween 4 and 5 are eighth. American Horror Story Roanoke is ninth. Annabelle 2 is 10th. And Chucky the Complete Collection is 11th. Get Out 12. Classic Monsters 13. Stephen King's The Stand 14. And Phantasm 5 movie collection is 15. Looking at the television for the week, The Gifted lead the way again, 3.7 million viewers. Ghosted, 3.5 million. Lucifer, 3.3 million. Once Upon a Time, 3.2 million. The Flash, 2.8 million. Inhumans, 2.7 million. Gotham down a little bit, 2.7 million. Riverdale at 2.3 million. The season finale of Fear the Walking Dead, 2.2 million. Wait, that show has completely fallen off a cliff. American Horror Story Cult, 2.1 million. A lot of people have checked out this season, I've kind of noticed on social media. Supernatural, 2.1 million. Supergirl, 1.8 million. Legends of Tomorrow, 1.7 million. Arrow, 1.5 million. Of course, you can see those four, Supernatural, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow on the CW. And that's pretty good numbers for the CW, actually. The Exorcist, the television series, 1.3 million. It's a little bit off this year. Halloween Wars, 1.1 million. But yeah, let me go back to The Exorcist real quick. I give it kind of a pass because it's on a Friday night, and it's a Friday night in October. You know, during the fall, not a great night, really, to watch television. Halloween Baking Championship, 1.1 million. Grave Mysteries, 1.1 million. Power Rangers Ninja Steel, 1.1 million. Fear the Talking Dead, 953,000. Killer Instinct, 930,000. Swamp Murders, 927,000. And nothing else really to talk about. Z Nation, first time that we can actually report that it is completely under a million. It's almost under 500,000 now, down to 545,000. I don't see that getting another season on Sci-Fi. So that takes care of that. That's what it looks like on the big and the small screen this week.
Hello, horror fans. My name's Douglas McCambridge, and along with my co-host Jamie Lorello, we run a podcast called Good Times, Great Movies, where we review movies from the craziest decade, the 1980s. In October, we do horror movies and horror movies alone, so we're reaching out to you, the listener / horror fan, to recommend movies you want to hear us talk about. Tweet to us at GTGMcast. Find us on Facebook, listen to the podcast, Good Times, Great Movies. Let us know what horror movies from that decade you want us to talk about. If we choose yours, you win a prize. It'll be something awesome. Blu-rays. That's what I'm going to say. All right, hope to hear from you.
This is Bane with
Boom Doom.
And we're going to try something. Something fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something we haven't done before. We've talked about this off mic.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to put him to the test on mic.
Yep.
We're calling this From the Dark Side Horror Trivia. Let's see how much little Boom Doom knows from all the teachings of Auntie Bane.
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. I'm using, I have a little index cards that are called Horror Trivia 100 Trivia Cards, and they cover everything. So, I mean, everything. Even stories, like ghost stories and movies and everything they cover. So, here we go. Since the 19th century, what date has been considered unlucky and is supposedly the most feared day and date in history?
Friday the 13th.
Very good. What is the most common way to kill a zombie?
Decapitating them?
Right. Which country celebrates Halloween by eating sweet-shaped skulls?
Day of the Dead, Mexico.
Good. What must be extended to a vampire before it is able to enter your home? Or, what has to happen before a vampire can enter your home?
Invitation.
Right. What is the name given to a noisy, disruptive, but imperceptible spirit that can move inanimate objects?
Poltergeist.
Good. What are a group of witches called?
Coven.
How many points does a pentagram star, an ancient symbol
Five.
Of protection... What mythological beings cast no reflection?
Vampires.
What is the name of the ghost that appears in a mirror when her name is repeated several
Bloody
times?
Mary.
What name was given to the mysterious perpetrator of the Whitechapel murders in East London, England?
Jack the Ripper.
Right. Originating from Haitian religion, what is the name for an animated corpse brought back to life through witchcraft?
Zombie.
What is a male witch called?
Warlock.
Right. What is the name of the Egyptian god of the underworld that's preceded Osiris?
Anubis.
In the famous novel and film, The Shining, what is the name of Jack Torrance's son who has the ability to shine?
Danny Dorrance.
Torrance. Close enough.
Oh. Come play with us, Danny.
What country does Dracula relocate from prior to his arrival in England?
Pennsylvania.
Starts with a T-R. Transylvania.
You were close! Pennsylvania.
Dracula's from Pennsylvania.
Hey, they all are.
Oh, often a ghost hunter will use an EVP monitor to detect a supernatural presence. What does EVP stand for?
Electricon voice phenomenon.
Close enough.
Phenomena. Do, 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 do.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Do, 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 do. In the Middle Ages, what substance was considered so powerful that churches had to keep it under locked covers to prevent its theft for use in witchcraft?
To burn demons in holy water. And rain your mind mouth.
What agricultural tool is the Grim Reaper famous for carrying?
A scythe. The thing that scratches your body to pieces? Yeah, that thing.
In Alfred Hitchcock's horror film Psycho, who is the disturbed motel owner?
Norman Bates.
What's the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery?
A graveyard is always church.
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 Halloween is a shortened version of what phrase?
All Hallows Eve.
Right.
And I'm not a robot for all of you.
Okay, can you name five things reported to repel or kill vampires?
Garlic, steak, cross,
mm-hmm.
Sunlight.
Uh-huh.
Crucifix.
You said cross, that's... Yeah. Next. You said that thing before.
Silver.
Okay. What are the locations on Earth called that are supposedly entrances to the underworld?
Well, first of all, Crowley's part of our gates of hell.
Right. How are victims typically transformed into werewolves?
Werewolf bite.
Okay, right. What are krakens, the legendary sea monsters of gigantic proportions?
Cthulhu.
What is the name
giant
of
giant mouther squids and Cthulhu.
Okay. What is the name given to the bright white circles often appearing in photographs and indicative of supernatural presence of energy?
Orbs.
Right. What method of evicting demons from a possessed person is still a widely used practice in many religions, such as Christianity and Islam?
Well, first of all, from the 18,000s, I don't know if you're 18,000s. Exorcism.
Okay. What is ectoplasm?
Ghosts, blood from blood wound edition, or also their spage milk.
Gross! But a correct answer.
Yeah. What celestial event is said to increase the power of a spell?
Full moon.
Right. What Halloween tradition involves children dressing up and asking neighbors for sweets?
Halloween.
What tradition?
Trick or treat.
Which country most famously celebrates the Day of the Dead?
Mexico.
I think he did all right. What do you think?
Surprisingly.
He did quite a few right.
He gets an A on horror trivia, but F's on math and spelling.
I'm not the best in school, tell you that.
But the best in horror.
Mm-hmm. And that's all from the dark side of horror.
She was dead. The most horrible.
our friends in New Zealand, they've got a new YouTube series coming out. It's called Aotearoa, which is a new anthology of short horror films, and it is linked by one element, and that is New Zealand culture. The series is the brainchild of Helling Wow, a creator of numerous short horrors, YouTube, and Facebook, who has recently received film commission funding for a round targeting women in horror. Her short film, Vaspy, is a twisted take on the iconic Buzzy Bee, which will be shooting in November. There are six shorts that make this up, directed by Peter Haynes and Nick Burridge, and co-produced by Jonathan Guest and Jocelyn Birch. It covers a wide range of subjects, from sunburn to, I don't know if it is their national sport or not, but they sure love to play at rugby. They also range in from tense to outright gross, and most of them containing a perverse sense of humor that the Kiwis are famous for. And believe me, if you knew a bunch of Kiwis, you know they're self-deprecating, and then their humor is beautiful. Producer Helling Wow describes the series as an opportunity to tell some horror tales that would be impossible for anywhere else. Of course, we'll link to the YouTube and their website, 6weeksofhorror.com is the website, 6 Weeks of Horror. The series kicks off on the 26th of October, and they're aiming for the Halloween crowd. Of course, we'll give you, like I said, the link into YouTube on the show notes and 6weeksofhorror.com. Again, that's 6weeksofhorror.com.
Hey guys, this is Jules Marie, and you're listening to EMZT Radio.
From an article from HiddenRemote.com, 13 Greatest Horror Films on Netflix. Here's a list of the best horror movies you can stream on Netflix today in celebration of Friday the 13th. Sleepy Hollow, 1999. Although he was one of the most interesting filmmakers of the 80s and 90s, Tim Burton fell off hard in the 2000s. The reasons for this sharp decline in quality are complex, but one of the more under-discussed causes is that he made his magnum opus with Sleepy Hollow. The film combines all of Burton's cinematic sessions, gothic atmospherics, the plight of outsiders, campy horror, or Johnny Depp. After making a movie that perfectly articulates all of their fascinations and ideas, a director really has nowhere left to go but down. Burton takes on Washington Irving's most famous story, Ichabod Crane, is an 18th century forensic pathologist who is tasked with solving the case of headless horsemen. A diehard skeptic, Crane is at first dubious of the horsemen's supernatural origins. However, after a harrowing encounter with the scariest monster Burton ever brought to Big Scream, Crane is left with the terrible understanding that there are things in the world science can't account for. Although the movie is stunningly beautiful, well-acted, and compellingly directed, its greatest strength lies in the sheer horror of its central concept, the idea that all the fictional monsters that terrified you as a child are in fact real and quite capable of hurting you. Wes Craven's New Nightmare, 1994. When Wes Craven made New Nightmare in 1994, his most iconic creation had become something of a joke. Instead of being the terrifying, dream-invading demon he was in the original Nightmare on Elm Street, a series of increasingly comedic sequels has turned Freddy Krueger into a comedic figure. To restore his monster to full vitality, Craven had to break Krueger down to his constituent parts and building him back up from nothing. As part of that process, Freddy lost the quips and desire to punish children of the people who incinerated him. Now he wanted revenge on the people who brought him to life, starting and including the real Wes Craven. On its face, the idea of a horror movie icon hunting down its creators sounds like a comedy sketch. The whole thing seems like it's a bit too clever to actually be scary. However, genre master that he was, Craven was able to make New Nightmare one of his most frightening films. In his new silent incarnation, Freddy was no longer bound by dreams or even the reality of the films he appeared in. As such, this version of Krueger is the scariest to ever appear on film. The Babadook, 2014. Although many films use supernatural creatures as a metaphor for emotional repression, few do so as well as The Babadook. The movie's title monster serves as a perfect illustration of the kind of unresolved grief that gnaws at a person for years on end. The kind of pain that can rise up and hit you when you least expect it. Since her husband's death, Amelia has tried her best to put the loss behind her. But on her son's 6th birthday, all the pain, guilt, and resentment she's been pushing down comes rushing to the surface. And watching all of that negative emotion finally explode is truly terrifying to watch. The most horrific aspect of the film isn't its impressive designed antagonist. It's that the film conveys a disturbingly relatable vision of what happens when it becomes too much. After all, most of us walk around with some lingering trauma, but we can typically manage its effects. But there's always the possibility that the daily challenges of life will push you beyond your limits. When that happens, you'll have to face your own personal version of the Babadook. The Craft, 1996. For most of its runtime, The Craft is not a horror film in the traditional sense. It's really a supernatural power fantasy wherein a group of teenage outsiders gain fantastic abilities. Instead of becoming superheroes, they use newfound abilities to turn the tables on their tormentors. But whereas another story would simply end with the freaks and geeks getting their revenge, this film digs deeper. It shows what happens, supreme power gets thrust into the hands of 4 resentful and narcissistic teens. In a lesser film, the group's descent into madness and violence would have been blamed on their experimentation with the dark arts. However, The Craft is smarter than that. It depicts black magic not as an otherworldly force of corruption, but rather as the ultimate purifier. For the strong, it burns away insecurities to reveal hidden strength. For the weak, it burns away everything. Because the film is so well made, the process of revelation can sometimes be hard to watch. But for those same reasons, it's equally hard to look away. The Invitation, 2015. From Rosemary's Baby to The Ring to Shutter Island, the horror genre is full of great films that force their protagonists to question the nature of reality. They thrust harried lead characters into mind-bending situations that can only be explained in one of 2 ways. Either something truly inexplicable is going on, or they're becoming psychologically unglued. However, while most psychological horror films settle on one definitive answer, The Invitation does things a little differently. In the film, Will and his girlfriend Kira go to a dinner party held by Will's ex-wife Eden and her new husband David. Over the course of the party, it's revealed that Will is grappling with some severe emotional issues related to the disillusion of his marriage to Eden. Simultaneously, the party becomes increasingly tense, surreal, and ultimately violent. The question then becomes, is Will experiencing a psychological breakdown, or is something genuinely sinister going on? As the film hurtles towards its shocking and completely unpredictable ending, it's shown just how thin the line separating madness and transcendence really is. Children of the Corn, 1984. With Andy Muschietti's adaptation of It scaring up millions at the box office, now is the perfect time to revisit some of the better Stephen King novel adaptations. Among the best and most underrated is 1984's Children of the Corn. Similar to It, this taut 92-minute horror thriller draws power from contrasting the idyllic beauty of an American small town with an ancient and cosmic evil that lies just beneath its surface. Like It's Derry, Corn's Gatlin becomes more terrifying as more of its secrets are revealed. The first layer is the town itself, which was seemingly completely abandoned in the middle of the day. Next are the dead-eyed children of Gatlin, who seem to have lost their humanity somewhere behind the rose. And at the center of it all, there's Isaac, the young preacher who drove the faithful to do the unthinkable. Although he initially seems like a Jim Jones-style cult leader, it quickly becomes clear that he serves a higher power that is both great and terrible. It Follows, 2014. Sadly, far too few modern horror films can be considered genuinely scary. Due to an over-reliance on jump scares and fake-outs, they're frightening in the moment, but they leave no lasting impact. It Follows is a major exception to the trend of inconsequential horror cinema, in that it is both terrifying upon first viewing and well after its closing credits roll. It's the kind of movie that causes you to be profoundly unnerved by mundane things like quiet suburban streets and crowds of unfamiliar people. The film chronicles the life of a carefree teenager, Jay, after she ends up in the sights of a relentless monster. Invisible to everyone but its prey, the film's malevolent entity is one of the scariest horror movie monsters in the new century. While not invulnerable, it can heal from wounds in seconds. It's a shapeshifter that can look like a complete stranger or a late loved one. It can also track its prey no matter where they are in the world, and it never stops coming. A fusion of the Terminator and Halloween, it follows, plays like a familiar nightmare you can't wake up from. Hellraiser, 1987. While the 1980s produced a wealth of excellent horror films, the sad truth is a number of supposed classics don't hold up. Whether it's low-budget effects, spotty performances, or laughable, unmotivated plot turns, a host of well-regarded scary movies from that era are more amusing than scary. However, the original Hellraiser is not one of those films. Even 30 years after it's released, it's lost none of its ability to disturb. The film follows Larry and Julia, a new couple that moves into Larry's childhood home. However, it soon becomes clear that the house is haunted by the specter of Larry's presumed dead brother, Frank. But Frank, who had his body and soul ripped apart after playing with a mystical puzzle box, has figured out a way back to our world, albeit with great sacrifice. No matter how jaded a horror fan thinks they may be, there's a good chance they're not prepared for the sheer visceral horrors of Hellraiser. The scenes dealing with Larry's extremely bloody resurrection or the reveal of the creatures that took his life in the first place leave an indelible impression. The Sixth Sense. In the 18 years since its initial release, The Sixth Sense has become known for its all-time great twist ending. However, the film has much more to offer than a stunning final act. It also features some of Shyamalan's finest writing and direction, a host of excellent performances, and some profoundly scary sequences. Whether it's Cole's harrowing exposure of a child abuser, Malcolm's opening encounter with a deranged ex-patient, and Cole's heart-rending demonstration of his abilities to his mother, the film is filled with emotional, exhausting material. The reason why The Sixth Sense resonates so deeply is that Shyamalan does such a good job putting the audience inside of Cole's head. You get a first-hand understanding of the alienation he feels at school, his growing distance from his overwhelmed mother, and his ambivalent feelings about the doctor who is trying to help him. And most prominently, it makes you feel all the trauma and anxiety that Cole has to endure as a result of his abilities. Saw, 2004. Although the series later devolved into ultra-gory and highly convoluted mess, the first entry in the Saw franchise is really good. A bleak horror thriller, the film is a thematic follow-up to unconventional serial killer narratives like Seven and Silence of the Lambs. In it, a brilliant psychopath called Jigsaw traps people he believes are wasting their lives in horrifying Rube Goldberg torture devices. While a haggard police detective works to discover Jigsaw's identity, his latest victims, a doctor and a photographer, struggle to understand why they've been captured. Relentlessly intense, philosophically intriguing, and precisely violent, the original Saw was a breath of fresh air when it was originally released. Its villain was compelling, its supporting characters are surprisingly nuanced, and its set pieces are jarringly graphic. The original remains as impactful as it was when it was first released. Teeth, 2007. Teeth is a twisted female empowerment story and a cautionary tale to men who don't respect the rules of consent. It's also a darkly comic tribute to Roger Corman-style campy horror movies. It follows Dawn O'Keefe, a young woman whose sexual awakening is complicated by a power-lined, radiation-induced case of vagina dentata. While traveling down her unusual path of self-discovery, Dawn becomes an avenger of sorts. After dispatching one would-be rapist, she begins meting out brutal, fitting punishments to all of her town's local sexual predators. Admittedly, Teeth is something of an acquired taste. While not overly graphic, it is a very violent and aggressively political film. But it's also uncommonly good, full of clever inversions of classic horror tropes and transgresses visual gags. plus Weixler gives a surprisingly nuanced and affecting lead performance. If you've ever wondered what kind of horror movie the creators of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia would make, it probably would bear a strong resemblance to this film. Train to Busan, 2016. After 9 Night of the Living Dead movies and 7 seasons of The Walking Dead, one would be forgiven for thinking that zombies are well and truly played out. However, the brilliant and terrifying Train to Busan prove that there is still life in the genre. To start, the film uses a unique setting for a zombie outbreak, a South Korean commuter train. The confined space, panic of the passengers, and general hopelessness of the situation makes for some riveting viewing. One of the reasons the film works so well is that writer Park Joo-suk and director Yong Sang-ho put in work to make their small band of survivors feel like real people before the zombies attack. Therefore, when you see them run for their lives later in the film, you really want to see them evade the zombie hordes, avoid their increasingly inhuman fellow survivors, and find their way to safety. And even though you know everyone won't make it, Train to Busan is so well made that it'll make you hope for the impossible. Gerald's Game, 2017. Although Stephen King is one of the most adapted authors in Western literature, Gerald's Game never seemed like it would be made into a film. Though a New York Times bestseller, the novel was one of King's more extreme works, and opposed to similarly boundary-pushing books like It or The Stand, it doesn't seem possible to remove its most transgressive elements while also retaining its central narrative. But however, Oculus helmer Mike Flanagan has made Gerald's Game into an excellent, if harrowing, film. In it, Jessie finds herself handcuffed to a bed after a sex game with her husband goes horribly wrong. With no hopes of rescue and dehydration setting in, she contemplates gravely injuring herself in an attempt to get free. Complicating matters, Jessie begins having visions of the worst moment of her childhood and a terrifying monster that wants to make her bones into a necklace. Although its content makes Gerald's Game legitimately hard to watch in parts, it's undeniably one Netflix best original productions and one of the best horror films of the year. And this is EMZT Radio.
I am no one! I am no one! He is a priest!
Leo?
Marin! Marin! Give us time! He is a priest! I heal! It is warm in the body! Marin! Give us time!
This is EMZT Radio. Come and let your ears bleed.
We'll be right back.
friend Mord McGee has come out with a new book. It's a called Up From the Black, Free Fear, Guaranteed Marvel. It's a collection of some of the absolute best short stories from science fiction, fantasy, horror since 2014. Award-winning, critically acclaimed author Mord McGee is one of the most distinctive and magnetic voices in contemporary fiction. While his tastes tend to be provocative and intense, they're so wonderfully eclectic and introduce the reader to the wildly unimaginable. And of course, a lot of these are a collection of stories that McGee has written from 2014 to 2016. It's in the tradition of The Twilight Zone, Weird Tales, and Creepshow. We catch glimpses of what lives in the darkest shadows, a glorious thrill ride of action, adventure, and supernatural coincidences. Some of the themes are post-apocalyptic invasion of Earth, where the only thing holding humanity together is a long-hummed earworm. A blood-red moon rises one dark night, and a cat saves the world. A spontaneous street fair exhibits the most bizarre and disturbing treats. Creatures lurk in the abyss where the vacuums exist, and many, many more. So check this one out. This one's already out on Amazon. You can buy it today, $3.99 for Kindle, or if you're old school and love the paperbacks, you can buy it $9.95 on Amazon Prime today. That is Up From the Black, Free Fear, Guaranteed Marvel, from Mord McGee.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Something to look out for this Halloween is a movie called Keep Watching. It'll be in theaters everywhere Halloween night. As a matter of fact, it'll be in for only one night, 10 o'clock. That's your local time. October the 31st, 2017, it will be in theaters. It's a family imprisoned by intruders. They're forced to play a terrifying game. As the night unfolds, the game's mysterious rules becomes clear, and the family realizes their nightmare is being streamed live to riveted viewers all over the world who are compelled to keep watching, not knowing if what they're seeing is real or staged. Keep Watching is directed by Sean Carter and is based on the script by Joseph DeMember, Alex Heineman, Andrew Rona, Nicholas Charter, and Greg T. Flores produced the film, which stars Bella Thorne, Natalie Martinez, Chandler Riggs, Leo Wainel, and Ian Gufford. So that's Keep Watching, coming to you this Halloween.
This social are just afraid of what they might think when I'm on parade. In my favorite hoodie, I can hide from the world and make them all ask, are you a boy or a girl? That's right. Keep trying to tell you what to wear. You keep thinking that it's just not fair. Dress code in effect. White shirt, black tie. Who's around your neck? You know it's just not right for you. You don't like being told what to do. Can't conform cause it's just not you. Gotta be yourself. You gotta be true.
Am I a boy or a girl?
In my favorite hoodie, I can hide from myself. make believe that I'm somebody else. Come on now, children of the night, dance with me now, it's alright. Do the pig and rich, we'll dance, bark at the moon. Don't get too excited, don't come too soon. Be yourself, let yourself go. Come on down to the rock show. Don't let them get you under the spell. Fuck them all, they can go to hell.
Going to do it for EMZT Radio this week. I want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. Of course, if you have something you want to promote, hit us up. Mailbox@emztradio.com. That's mailbox@emztradio.com. Also want to take this opportunity, so I'm going to do it, to thank the Pottern family, those of you who have turned in some 30-second promos. Definitely check them out. Check everybody out that we promote here on this podcast with their nice, wonderful promos. They took the time to do that for us, and we thank you. And guys, we are going to get you some promos. We just got to sit down and work on them. Believe me, they're coming. Other than that, everybody take care. We hope our friends in Ireland and Scotland are doing well after Hurricane Ophelia ripped through the area just a few days ago. So, on that note, of course, Patreon. You can become our patriot on Patreon. We are definitely working to get you guys some cool stuff, maybe some discounts to the store. I think that's what we're going to work on first, is exclusive chats and discounts on the t-shirts. That's what's coming for you Patreons on Patreon. Other than that, Facebook, Twitter, you know how to find us, EMZT Radio on Twitter, on Facebook, EMZT Podcast Radio. You can find us everywhere, YouTube, just look for EMZT Radio on YouTube. EMZT Productions is our Twitch handle, and that should just about cover it. I don't have very much to say. Thank you very much for listening for this week. For Bane Hellborn, I am the Infamous One. We will see you next week with Powdered Toast.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Red rum, red rum.